Welcome to the CodeCast Podcast. Real-world insights for your daily medical coding and billing processes. And now, here's your host, Terry Fletcher.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CodeCast Podcast today. My name is Terry Fletcher. I hope everyone had a good Labor Day weekend and you were able to actually take a three-day weekend. I spent the weekend in Arizona moving my daughter out of state so she could start her new teaching position, and we got up to 115 degrees. So just wanted to let you know it's been hot. I'm actually still in Arizona, and so it's been very warm here, but I'm heading home shortly, and I will try not to cry. But anyway, today I wanted to bring you some of the updated information that came out on a couple of the CMS office hours calls, and a lot of it has to do with the proposed additions and revisions to the Medicare telehealth services. The reason I wanted to bring it to your attention is that it's not specifically in the proposed physician fee schedule for 2021, but it is part of the transcript that they had on the Q&A, and I asked a couple of these questions, and I was surprised it wasn't a bigger media frenzy over it, because everybody kind of gets very, you know, excitable when they hear some of the things that Medicare is considering now that everybody's now 6 to almost 7 months into the PHE. And I know that there's a lot of people out there and a lot of practices that have decided to go all in on telehealth and expense that out, and they don't know what's going to be rolled back. So let's just really talk about this, especially since now I'm sure you've heard in the news, we are down 85% when it comes to ICU and death rate. That's a huge number. We are down over 30% when it comes to cases, positive cases per day. We are doing much more testing than we ever have before. And always remember, positive test result or positive case does not mean that person is symptomatic or sick or will be in the hospital or won't recover on their own. It's 99.4% recoverable. And so I would expect that the PHE is probably going to end when they said it would in October 26. So just be aware of that, because there's not only a proposal for 2021, but as soon as the public health emergency ends, things are going to be rolled back. And so let's just look at the proposal and then look at what could be rolled back as soon as the public health emergency ends. Okay, so first of all, the proposed action for permanent, meaning these codes will be added to the telehealth list on a permanent basis in 2021. Again, these are proposed actions. So domiciliary rest home and custodial care services, those are the established low complexity 99334 to 99335 services. Home visits, and this is for the home health agency. So home health established low complexity 99347 to 99348. The new code, Cognitive Assessment and Care Planning Service, 99483. There's a prolonged service code with outpatient visits level 5. They're considering adding that, but I just saw something that was in writing saying that that's a possibility that they could not be permanent. They're really not sure yet what's going to happen there. Group psychotherapy, 90853. Psychology and neuropsychology testing, 96121. And then they're considering that GPC1X code for visit complexity, but I'm seeing so many asterisks on that code, I was surprised it actually made the list. So just stand by on that one. Now, what will be temporary, and these codes will not be covered, let me back up. They will be covered for a time period after the public health emergency ends, but we're considering these are going to end by the end of the year. As far as part of the telehealth, that's emergency department visits 99281 to 283, nursing facility discharge day management 99315 to 316. They really want the physicians on site for that. Domiciliary rest home and custodial care services, high complexity 99336 to 337. Home visits, now remember, home health agencies established high complexity, and then psychological and neuropsych testing. So those are, they're going to be covered for a time frame after PHE ends, but just know that's temporary. Now, what's going to end after the public health emergency? It's amazing to me whenever I get on these after hours calls, and I do appreciate Medicare and CMS at least providing the calls for us so we can at least ask questions, but they kind of talk around things where people really don't understand what they're talking about. And I'll kind of show you what I mean in a minute. So here's what's going to end. These codes will not be covered after the public health emergency ends. And we're getting a lot of pushback. So just be aware, not after it ends and not into next year. Initial and subsequent observation and observation discharge day management. So those are the 99217 to 220, 99224 to 226, and then the 99234 to 236. These are mostly hospital inpatient services, 99221 to 223, and then their discharge counterpart. Emergency department high complexity visits. They really want patients to get back to going in person. Critical care services, even though right now those are suspect as far as being allowed via telehealth, they're not on my list. Initial nursing facility visits, all levels. Domiciliary rest home visits, home visits, all levels, new. So new, they're going to roll back that established, or that new patient, they're going to keep the established, but new is where you're going to see a problem. And same with domiciliary rest home or custodial care. Those are new levels. And then inpatient neonatal pediatric critical care, again, initial and subsequent for them. Initial and continuing neonatal care. Radiation treatment, management services, end-stage renal disease monthly capitation payment codes, and then psychological, neuropsychological testing, and then therapy codes. And those are the physical therapy codes. The physical therapists have really gotten used to just letting the parents do the work and basically doing it over the phone. So I'm noticing that some of their societies and organizations are trying to push back on that. And, you know, I apologize if that comes out being flip. It's not meant to be. It's just people, we have to get back to understanding that if you want to feel or express or at least show your credibility of your importance of your specialty, you have to be able to show that a parent or a caregiver or the patient who is not educated in what you do, that they can't give the same quality care. Remember, convenience is not the same as quality. And so that's why they want therapists to get back to work in person. Now, here's some of the key questions that came in, and this was from the calls that we had. And this is interesting because I'm going to tell you the question, and then I'm going to tell you how they answered it and give you a little commentary. So one of the questions was, will CMS cover telephone-only services after the public health emergency PHE ends? And what they said is, according to the proposed rule, CMS does not plan to continue coverage. However, it is seeking comment on several possible next steps, including temporary coverage after the PHE ends, creating a code that describes longer phone calls or covering the 99441 to 443, and of course the 98966 to 98968. And it says practices that want CMS to keep a higher level phone telephone code should submit comments to the proposed rule that explains how these are going to be used to improve patient care after the PHE ends. Right now, we do not have a proven study to show that this is improving the quality of care of the patient, not just, again, the convenience for the patient. And remember, whenever you use telephone calls, it does not count towards your HCC. So your hierarchy codes for your Medicare Advantage plans won't even accept any kind of, because you can't see the patient. You have to have exam components reflecting that patient getting better or not getting better. The next one was, will CMS eliminate the geographic limits and site restrictions that are currently waived under PHE? Well, guess who asked that question? That would be me. And let me just slow that down a bit. Will CMS eliminate the geographic limits and site restrictions that are currently waived under the PHE? What I actually asked was, and that is how they stated my question, but I asked, will the patient basically be allowed to use their home as the originating site to be able to get telehealth services? And the answer was no. And I was surprised nobody said, wait, what? That's the whole point of why this started working so well. But they said no. They said the usual restrictions will be restored when the PHE ends. This includes waivers that allow the patient's home to be an originating site unless the patient meets an exception. And I quote, this is what they said, we note that because the home is not generally a permissible telehealth originating site, these services could be billed when furnished as telehealth services only for treatment of a substance abuse disorder or a co-occurring mental health disorder. And that's what CMS said. And I said, and I went back in the queue to ask a question. I said, so just to be clear, a patient at home after the PHE ends, that is no longer going to be covered. They would have to be an originating site. And they said, correct, unless they meet those criteria or they're in a rural area. So that's why you keep hearing on TV that, you know, we're expanding telehealth, especially or directed to the rural health patients. They're saying, you know, if you don't have a patient or a physician within a 50-mile radius and you're in one of the HRSA areas, then yes, where the physician shortage areas, then we're going to go ahead and cover it. But it's going back. And so for those of you that think, well, I heard that they're going to cover it, well, they may, but not unless you meet the geographic location. So let me go on again. So it says, when CMS states the temporary Category 3 telehealth codes will remain on the telehealth list through the calendar year in which the PHE ends, does that mean they will be removed after December 31st? And they said it depends on when that ends. So if it expires at the end of October and not renewed, then it will end on December 31st. But each declaration of the public health emergency lasts 90 days. If the HHS secretary renews it at the end of October, it would carry into 2021, but we have to just see what's going to happen. So it says, does CMS plan to allow practices to use smartphones or real-time audiovisual connections with the patients for the purpose of telehealth? So will they still allow them to use the FaceTime and the Skype? So here's how they answered this, and I don't like it at all. It said, yes, CMS proposes to revise the definition of interactive telecommunication system by removing language that states telephones, fax machines, and emails are not interactive. The current definition says interactive telecommunication system means multimedia communications equipment that includes, at a minimum, audio and video equipment permitting two-way real-time interactive communication between the patient and distant site, physician, or practitioner. And then it goes on to say about telephones, fax machines, and electronic mail systems do not meet that criteria. They want to take that part out only because some patients have smartphones, not what they call telephones, and so they want the smartphone to be eligible. What I could see people looking at that as is that now a phone call is eligible, and that's not what they're saying. They're saying a telephone, like a landline, is, and a fax machine, they even call it facsimile, and electronic mail, so the digital or the portal, that's not considered to be covered under that interactive as an office visit, if you will. But I think the Office of Civil Rights, they're going to weigh in on this as well. And here's the last one, and this is where they confuse people, and this is one of the last questions that was there. It said, will we still be able to report an office visit, E&M visit, 99201 to 215 after the PHE ends? Well, in 2021, the 99201 is going away anyway. So really, it's 99202 to 215 if it's still in 2020. But it says, and this is where they're going to get people to do things wrong. It said, yes, office visits are permanent telehealth codes. However, the encounter will need to meet Medicare's requirements for a telehealth service. For a complete list of covered telehealth codes, see the resource list below. And they gave us like a link. But don't you hear people saying, oh, look, I can still bill office visits. Well, what was the telehealth require or Medicare's requirement? That you can't be in the patient can't be in their home. So that's what's going to change when the PHE ends. And this is where people aren't understanding the correlation. They're not making the link or the connection. They're basically only hearing I can bill an office visit forever. But yes, an office visit could be covered. But again, what is your originating site? And that's going to be rolled back. And I don't see telephones calls sticking only because they may have one code maybe. But if the patients are able and we are now doing so well under the pandemic as far as recovering, you're just not going to see that happen. So I would be very surprised. They've lost so much money, and it is lost money. They've seen, there's been a lot of inappropriate claims bill. There's been a lot of non-compliance. I had one practice that basically said, we just decided not to worry about all of the problems that come with telehealth and making sure that we have to, you know, they said to do this at a certain time frame. So to do this at another time frame, we just billed everybody at a level 4 office visit. We didn't care if it was phone call or just face to face. And I was like, oh my gosh, I mean, seriously, just kill me now by telling me that. So that was a problem. And it turned out that that practice ended up getting audited by a couple of their payers and ended up having to send thousands of dollars back. So it's important to make sure that you know that the audits are going to be a problem. And I've gotten no less than a dozen calls just in the last, I would say, week from physicians saying the UPIC audits are out And what happens is that when you get a UPIC audit from CMS, they usually want 50 records, and they're looking to see what you have been doing because something triggered it. Usually it's somebody that either whistleblowed or complained, or you showed a pattern of a red flag. And what they'll do is they will stop your payments. So they'll suspend payments until you have a result of that audit. And I have a lot of practitioners, a lot of physicians saying, can you please audit me so I know what I'm looking at? And I did two so far of the five physicians that engaged with me out of all the calls I got so far. And so far, I'm finding about a 50% error rate, which is terrible. And so we really have to kind of step it up and understand that that's coming and know what the rules say, that so you don't get in trouble. So we just want to always keep that, you know, in the back of your mind that those are coming. And it's not to make you afraid of or concerned about audits. It's just to make you aware that this is something that Medicare, you knew that they were going to look at oversight. You knew they were going to look at good faith. And you knew that they were going to step up again and, you know, start their auditing process. And a lot of my colleagues as well that I work with, you know, near and far, they're just like, we are flooded with auditing right now. Okay, so I'm going to look at some questions today, and they're kind of, well, one's coding and one is more kind of a compliance, but it is part of the E&M question. So one says, when a physician joins a new practice and sees a patient from a former practice within 3 years of the previous visit, should you code E&M service new or established because they're joining a new practice? So it doesn't matter if the physician joins a new group practice or begins their own practice. The answer is the same. The physician should code according to the time frame which they last saw the patient. So if you saw a patient 2 years prior and the next visit takes place at your new practice, you still code that as a patient, as an established patient visit. Just because your tax ID may have changed or your location may have changed, all it talks about in CPT is your face-to-face. When was your last face-to-face with a patient or a physician within that practice? Let's say you're bringing your practice into a new practice and another physician within that practice of the same exact specialty sees that patient. That's established to them too, even though they've never seen the patient before. So make sure you're reading page 5 of your CPT book under new and established patients, because that's really an important aspect of new versus established. The other coding question was, my cardiologist, and this is from somebody in Alaska, introduced a catheter into the patient's common femoral artery and advanced this catheter into the aorta. Then my cardiologist removed the catheter. What CPT code should I report for this service? Well, I don't think they finished the question. Usually the catheter is the conduit. Remember, it's kind of the delivery method for the dye or the angiography service. And so to put a catheter in the aorta, either from a common femoral, radial, or brachial approach, and leave it there would be 36200. So if there's no heart cath, there's no selective anything, it's 36200. But your physician, I would say 99% of the time, wouldn't just put it up there without injecting dye. And then if you did an abdominal aortogram, you would have a radiology code 75625, 26 modifier done in the facility setting that you don't own. If you are looking at abdominal aortogram with runoff, so you want to look at the extremities as well, and the angiographic data shows that you had bilateral extremity imaging then and information, then that would be 75630 with a 26, in addition again to the 36200 code. Let's say they put it at what we call the bifurcation, which is where the legs split off, and their doctor just wanted to look at the lower extremities. So you'd still have that 36200 for the catheter placement in the aorta, but just to look at the legs would be 75716 with a 26 modifier. So your question is 36200, but what did they do when they put that catheter in there? Read further into the report. Otherwise, you could miss some information. We don't want you to do that. Okay, so today our coding questions were brought to you by Modern Healthcare, modernhealthcare.com, and Modern Healthcare News Magazine. You can either get it in digital, in print, or you can follow them on Twitter. So try to see, that's out of Chicago, Illinois, Modern Healthcare Magazine. So a couple of personal tidbits. First of all, I wanted to say hi to Heather B., a new CPC, sent me such a nice email, and I really appreciate that. Holly, CPC apprentice, CPCA, good for you. And then also Dr., I want to pronounce this right, Dennis Sampu, I think, MD, thank you for your kind words on LinkedIn and just how much you enjoy the the CodeCast. So we appreciate that. But for all of you that have been sending me messages and liking a lot of the things that I post on Instagram and everything, again, shout out to Ruth and Kat and everybody that is down under as well. I know I've got some new followers in Australia. Claire, of course, shout out to you. But it's really good. I just really appreciate all of my listeners and followers and Jordan and all of you, John, thank you again for everything you all do, for really just, you know, kind of bringing me some positivity during the week. I really, really need it with what's going on in the world. And sometimes it just kind of brings you down. So hopefully everybody's doing well. Also, I wanted to ask you, for those of you that have tried a book club and it's not really for you, and maybe you're ready to try something different, I'm part of something called a podcast brunch club, and we get people from all over the world, and we have a Zoom call. We have it once a month, and we have to listen to 5 podcasts. And this month, well, last month was apologies. I didn't really care for that one. The month before that, though, was conspiracy theories. Oh my gosh, that was really fun. And this month is about freedom of speech, and I love the podcast that I'm listening to on it. One I hated, I will put it out there, but the other ones I'm listening to, and then we discuss them, and you have people all over the country on our meeting. So if anybody's interested, that direct message me. I'll send you a link. I'm actually going to start a chapter. We actually have local chapters in Southern California, but anybody can join because it's a Zoom call. So if you'd like to be part of that, let me know. And I'd love to have you on the call. And we basically have some coffee and chat about it. Now, if you're not into coffee and you prefer to drink a margarita or whatever you'd like, that's up to you. But it's very fun. It'll be a chance to kind of interact and chat about something. It doesn't have to do about work, but it's a very fun thing to do. Anyway, just let me know. So everyone, I hope you again had a good holiday weekend. Hope you're back to work and it's cooling down where you are. And I wish me luck getting home in this heat. But I will talk to you next week on the CodeCast podcast. Make it a great day and a great week.
For more information on medical coding, billing, auditing, and compliance, including how to hire Terry, follow Terry on Twitter at TerryCoder1 or visit her website at www.terryfletcher.net. Podcast producer Joe Kuzma. Music producer DeSassin Music.